Good afternoon and welcome to Mike and the Hoss on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hossack, we are Mike and the Hoss. We're a little early today, Charlie.
Yeah, we're surprising people that were looking forward to hearing maybe one more Captain and Tennille song.
Well,
and here we are at 3:56. I like it. Being early.
We're crowding into the 3 o'clock hour.
Thank you, John. We're going to take the extra 4 minutes.
We are.
For our show today.
That's right.
We're going over an hour. I love
it. Well, like I said, with the 3 o'clock crowd, I don't know if they can...
Oh, no, John. That's awful.
I don't know if they can handle the Mike and the Hoss, the 3 o'clock crowd. Are they ready for this?
They're getting us now, which is pretty awesome. So welcome, 3 o'clock crowd.
So
it's great. It's great to be on air, of course. We got a little bit of snow, as you know.
Weird. Some people got like 12, 16, 18 inches.
Yeah.
And other people like a couple miles away got like 5 or 6, depending on where it's sat.
So bizarre. And what are they? I think they said the official total, whoever does the official total in Wolfboro, was like 19.6 inches in Wolfboro. But I don't think I had 19.6 in my driveway.
I don't even know if we were even 8 or 9 up in Tuftonboro.
Yeah.
So. But it was all slushy. It hit. It melted. It was.
Yeah.
Most of it's gone.
Absolutely.
Most of the stuff that came in is gone.
Which is good. How's the turf field? Is it still covered, or is it melting? Where are they at?
I didn't look. All I got to do is look out the window, and I didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can do it tomorrow.
I am guessing that I think they probably have a chance at next week.
Of having it cleared.
I don't think anything's happening this week. But we are talking about spring sports a little bit today. We're going to do the Mike and the Hoss spring sport preview. That's the preview before the preview.
Yeah, the preview, because
that's what happens when you get them 4 minutes early. You do previews before the preview.
Previews before the preview, because tryouts are going to be happening in the next week, right?
I did my first day of middle school tryouts yesterday.
I was going to say, you had a little middle school, and you guys will finish up tomorrow?
Pulled the skates off and put the baseball glove on.
My goodness.
I know, with clipboard in hand.
Gosh. You're going to have you already started petting Baseball Dad? Have you started writing that one?
That one's going to be different than Hockey Dad.
Yeah,
I'll let you do a
baseball dad one. Yeah,
So we did tryouts.
Going back to that, and not the Hockey Dad thing, but just the Hockey Dad thing and all of that stuff. It's amazing, technology wise. I don't know if this happens to you, but my phone is out all the time when we're on the show, and then I've been being bombarded on social media with like stuff about your kids graduating from high school, moving on from sports and stuff. It's like this little thing listens to us, Mike, which kind of makes me a little scared as the things that are like popping up.
You pay for it if you accidentally click on something too.
Yes.
If you accidentally click on a Roomba vacuum cleaner, or a sauna or something like that, the next thing you know, it's that everything's coming at you for deals, and then God forbid you say something in the kitchen around Amazon Alexa.
Oh my goodness,
because
she can hear everything.
She can hear it.
And all of a sudden
you conspiracy theorists must be thinking that they're listening in, aren't they? Do you think that they're listening?
So first off, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but you know that the technology's there, right? I mean, it has to be there. I don't know why anyone would want to listen to me in my kitchen. What honestly do I have to offer that anybody would want to listen to? Other than on the radio, people want to listen to us. But
so when you say Alexa, then Amazon kicks on. It's supposed to be that's when it starts listening. But I have trouble believing that it's not listening for other keywords. That the government does not listening to, there's a few keywords in there that just like
bomb, terrorist, something hijacking, like those words
right.
Like that,
anthrax, those kinds of things. They've got to, there's got to be something that they're listening to.
There's something.
Can't be just only Alexa.
Yeah, all of a sudden Charlie's cooking, dinner and dropping these, these words. Watch out for this guy.
The Hossack's house is surrounded.
The next time I fly, I'll be on the no-fly list.
That's awesome. So, so we are a little bit early today. But you know what? I filled our paper today. I don't know if you noticed that.
I mean, I have to say, I give you a lot of credit, Mike, because
I shouldn't get credit.
You got a lot going on. You had a lot of information, and I appreciate it. Did you start this yesterday?
No, I just
this is today. You're busy today.
It was a busy day for you. My prep period was filled with Mike and the Hoss.
It's great.
Let's get going. Mike and the Hoss is powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro, and can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro, or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you are there, enter the disco code of Mike and the Hoss or WASR to receive 20% off a gingy box. You can always join our conversation at 603-569-LATE, 603-569-5253, and now you're going to hit me with the shore thing, right?
I'm going to hit, yeah, we are 97.1 WASR, the shore.
Yeah,
the shore. Still, you got that. Well, you picked that up. I didn't even have to remind you.
I just remembered that I forgot. Yeah. We got to put that in here somewhere.
I know. Well, remember the issue we had last week? I was putting in advertisers that no longer are with us.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I didn't touch that this time.
Sure. So. We do have a new ad that's playing today, though.
Yeah.
I'm real excited to listen to it.
We're going to hear it's JR's voice, right? JR's voice.
I
we're going to hear.
That's JR's voice. I'm assuming it's JR's voice.
Yeah. John's going to let us know when
it's our first ad that's not us.
Yeah.
This is the first advertiser that's not us doing it.
That's right. Yeah. So. And it's going to be for the Back Bay Boathouse.
That's right.
That's great.
Who also sponsors the trivia today. Did you do the trivia?
I did. Of course I did, Mike.
I mean, that's the one thing I did not do.
I mean, I do
trivia.
Have some responsibilities. I mean, you know what? Actually, typically, if we're talking about responsibilities, you've got a ton here, and I really appreciate you.
That's a good one.
I'm the one that usually comes up with, not comes up with, but I usually do the Kingswood sports stuff, and I kind of have a little vacation until next week when we hopefully have some coaches.
I filled it in. We actually have an athlete of the week too.
No, I get that, but usually, we usually go down whatever the sports standings are. And
the big news for Mike and the Hoss is that we already fixed baseball. We did.
Yeah.
They listened, and Major League Baseball fixed it. But, yeah. I want to fix youth baseball today between the 4 and 5 hour, and I also want to fix the NBA.
Okay. It's doable.
I think it is. We fixed baseball.
I don't think it's a problem. We can fix it.
I think it is. And if we're both on the Cal Ripken board, and we have said that this probably is our last year along with Coach Kelly. So I am hoping that – if we can get these things enacted into youth baseball that we're going to talk about later on,
yeah,
maybe we stay.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah,
it's a great idea, and I bet the president would probably approve of us staying. I would think.
I think so. Yeah. Let's start opening takes. Brought to you by Hancock Lumber
for all your building supply needs.
How do you feel about John? Are you a hockey fan? No. Okay. Are you a hockey fight fan?
Yeah.
Charlie, we've talked about it a little bit, and I wanted to revisit this, and it came across my wire today about safety in hockey and NHL hockey and the fighting and trying to almost define it a little bit better, when they're going to allow fighting, when it's over the top. And first of all, how do you feel about hockey fighting in general? I know we've talked about it before.
Sure, we have talked about it, and I've actually come full circle thanks to you and my brother-in-law. Just that once I understood the purpose of fighting, I fully support it.
Okay.
You know, once you explain to me, you know, why do people fight? They don't just fight to fight.
Sometimes, but you know,
yeah, but for the most part, there's a purpose behind it. So I support it. Plus, you know, as a fan of hockey, you want to see a fight, and you know who really wants to see more of a fight is the casual fan. The casual fan, you know,
like John,
tunes in because he wants to see the hockey fight. It's kind of like the morbidness of like NASCAR. People tune in because they want to see the crash. You know, they don't want to see the cars going around in a circle, but they're looking for that crash.
You know, remember ABC's Wild World of Sports?
Oh,
remember
my gosh. Oh.
And what and was the opening? The ski wipeout at the beginning went for years.
Nasty
because
wipeout.
That's when you watch ski jumping. If you just watch ski jumping, the casual fan probably is not going to stay tuned in. But if there's a chance that you're going to see that crash, you're going to stick around to watch. And the same thing with NASCAR, the same thing with, I guess an MMA fight would be a little bit different. But anyway, so they're re-looking at this. And one of the reasons we've justified fighting in the NHL is to protect some of the star players. If a star player got a cheap shot, that it would deter that from happening so the star players could stay on the ice. And that's when a lot of fights would happen.
Right.
The trend that's happened in the NHL is that it's no longer fighting happening after cheap shots. Now fighting's happening after good, clean hits, big, clean hits that are part of the game. Fighting is starting to happen then, and we saw it in the Bruins game the other night. there was a, you know, open ice hit. Somebody went down. I don't even know if it was a star player. And gloves were dropped, and the guy started throwing haymakers all over the place. And you looked at it and said, there was nothing wrong with that hit.
Right.
And I think that that's where the gray area is now starting for the NHL and for hockey itself, is that a good, clean hockey hit is part of that game. There shouldn't be a retaliation after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I put in some ideas for, you know, maybe Mike and the Hoss rules for fighting. We'll get to those in a second. The other question is, why are the stars protected so much more than the average player?
Right. Yeah. And
I don't know, that's where your money is. You protect a quarterback in the NFL and sure. You do things like that. But a quarterback in the NFL is playing a different game than the other guys that are on the field.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They're very position specific. Skill set, size, build, and so on.
Right.
I mean, in this respect, you should protect the punter also, because he's
fragile,
considered, you know, compared to the linebackers. In hockey, they're all playing by the same set of rules.
Right.
You know, the guy who's playing left wing, who's a big scorer, can drop back to defense and play virtually the same kind of game.
Right.
And the defenseman can drop, you know, go up to forward and still, you know, be.
They're more interchangeable.
Except for the goalie.
Yeah, so I like football.
Except for the goalie. The goalie is a little bit different. So why is that happening? That just the stars are, you know, really. But getting back to my first point is that fighting is happening now when clean hits, because people's pride is getting hurt. Their players' prides are getting hurt. Yeah. And so now you're seeing these retaliation. And I can't stand retaliation.
Sure.
We as a coaching, when you're coaching youth hockey, is that the toughest kid wasn't the kid that delivered the biggest hit. It was the kid that could take the biggest hit without retaliating.
Up. Right.
So let
me ask some questions, or at least one question. So do hockey teams, do they have goons anymore? Are there goons on the team?
No.
No.
They don't. They have guys that can fight.
Okay.
They don't have guys that are there for fighting.
Specifically to fight.
Yeah. They have.
You know, like when you have to retaliate or whatever, you know, you send your goon out and he goes to take care of business.
That's right. So now you got like a Milan Lucic, who's, you know, was playing for the Bruins for a long time, who's in Calgary now. He was a regular hockey player, regular second line player, who would go out there and fight.
Gotcha.
You know, Cam Neely was a good example. Cam Neely was a hockey player.
But he was a fighter.
He was a fighter, too.
Yeah.
Sean Thornton. Back in when they won the Stanley Cup in 2010.
Yeah.
Fourth liner, more of that, good hockey player, but more of that goon. You know, it was his job to kind of keep control of, you know, what was going on out there. The Bruins have, you know, they got Brandon Carlo, they got a few, Trent Frederick, they got a few other guys that fight. But they don't have somebody designated just for fighting.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, there's probably a few teams that do.
Yeah. But most teams probably don't anymore. They moved away from that.
Yeah, they don't bring out. It's not Slapshot anymore.
Sure. Where, right.
There's, you know, the Hanson brothers are coming out off the bench with the foil on the, you know, knuckles and so on.
Yeah.
That's not happening anymore. How are we doing?
We're ahead because we started early. That's why.
Here's my plan. This is Mike and the Hoss's rules for fighting. I mean, you could call it Mike's rules for fighting.
Sure.
The second fight, you get ejected in a game.
You're allowed one fight.
You're allowed one. You get two. You're there not for you're there for other reasons to play hockey.
Gotcha.
So you can get your second one, but you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Ejection on the first fight if it was response to a clean hit.
And who makes that decision?
Referees.
The referee.
Yeah, okay. If there's not a penalty, that comes with the hit.
So then it's, right, okay, good. No penalty, it's a clean hit, regardless
of
what the fans
You're retaliating.
You're retaliating on a clean hit.
And they can look at it, but it's fine. And then ejection on punches thrown while the players are on the ground, and this is a little responsible.
So when you get on the ice.
So these guys, when they're standing up, they're throwing left and right, but as soon as somebody goes down, you don't want to see the other punch come.
Gotcha.
Like in MMA, I watch a little bit of MMA, I'm not that big into it. And when they're standing up and they're defending each other and they're swinging at each other, it's fine. It's when that guy gets knocked down on the ground and he's kind of half out and they start pounding on his head. That's
scary.
That's when it's just, ooh, God, that's
well,
really...
typically, though, like, don't referees, once they get on the ice and they kind of get into that, you know, they start wrestling or whatever, that's usually when the referees come over to break it up.
It's usually the dirtier player that's going to take the punch when they're on the... As soon as one guy goes down to the ice... Even if a guy's mid-swing, he usually pulls back.
Pulls back, yeah.
But sometimes...
So can I ask another question?
Sure.
With a lot of this fighting, and I'm not going to push it to the extreme of, you know, WWE, but a lot of this fighting is a lot of it's staged in the sense that, yeah, they probably hit each other, but they're not really trying to hurt each other.
I think a lot of these guys go to get beers after the games.
I was going to say, I mean, it's like if we were skating together, we would fight each other and then probably ride home together.
I don't believe, and I'm not an NHL player, and so I don't know. I don't believe, though, that it's necessarily staged like an act, like a WWE.
Right, not WWE, yeah.
But I think that they use it as a motivation for their own teams.
Yeah.
That, all right, we're going to show that we're not taking any crap.
We're standing up.
And we're standing up, and so this guy is going to fight this guy. Every once in a while, especially if it's a real rivalry, you'll see before the puck even drops to, you know, on the very first period and everything, you'll see a couple guys square off. And it's almost, I'll attribute it to baseball, that when there's a lot of bad blood between two teams, sometimes the first pitch of the game, you know, buzzes by a guy's head, the umpire gives warnings to each side, and then they move on.
That's that, yeah. Right.
You know, and it's kind of the same way with the fighting thing. You know, let's get this out of the way, and then let's play some hockey.
So they just have a fight before the game. They both go to the penalty box?
And they both go to the penalty box.
And then they play 5-on-5 anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, because they're matching penalties, and that's that.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
March Madness?
Yeah, my opening take is March Madness. I'm making a statement, Mike, saying March Madness is the most exciting month of the year. And doing a little bit of research, you know, if you want to look at, like, you know, Barstool or Bleacher Sports or whatever you want to look at, March Madness is in, like, you know, the top 10 things. Interesting thing that, you know, the number one is the World Cup, and, like, in the top five is, like, the Masters. But I'm saying that March Madness is the most exciting time in the month because this is where, like, I don't know about you, like, I've got the March Madness app on my phone. I've been watching some of the scores today, you know, seeing if my bracket has been busted. You know, I'm in a pool, and it's just really exciting. It's the only time.
If your bracket's busted already, that's.
I know. It isn't.
I've played three games.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's an exciting time of the year where people that may not have any interest in college basketball or sports in general, all of a sudden are now excited about something. So for me, I love it. I love it. I love being able to see, you know, you pick a team, how far they're going to go. I think we're probably in one of the same pools together. And it's just a lot of fun to be able to pick teams and look for upsets and hope for upsets. And I love it.
I used to run the pool at school. I think when you were there, I was running the pool. No money was exchanging hands, though. It was completely, you know, just honor
just for fun. Yeah.
And
bragging rights.
Yeah, that's all. It's fun because, like you said, people that had no interest in basketball, that don't, some people would choose teams based on their shirt colors.
Yeah, or their mascot.
And they would run the whole brackets based on that, and they would do okay. It wasn't that they would lose. They would do better than I would. I have never in my life won a NBA March Madness pool.
Not only have I never won, I don't think I've ever been close. No, you just
finished last a few times. Yeah. You know, get your money back. One of those kind of pools.
Sure,
but no, I've never won.
But I think it's just a lot of fun. It just kind of, like you said, it brings people together that are not sports fans or basketball fans.
And I'll tune into ESPN, you know, in the next week or two, and to see. Like last year, there were no pools allowed. No pools alive at the end of the first weekend.
Right, yeah.
None.
Yeah.
No perfect. There was nothing that was perfect.
No one's going to get a perfect one.
And it really is like lottery. And I think, you know, already.
There's already been some upsets.
Furman.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what seed they were, but I think they were like a 13, weren't they, or something like that?
Yeah, they were a 13 seed. In my second pool, look who I have to win it all. Furman.
Do you really?
In my second pool.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that was just, you know, purely.
So you got Murder You up in the first pool.
We'll talk about that later.
That's who I have, too. So I don't want to go there. Yeah. Anyway, so I like March Madness. I don't know if I would agree with that it's the best month of the year in terms of college basketball, it is.
Well, yeah.
We refer to this as similar as the Super Bowl. Does March Madness make it so people don't even tune into any kind of college basketball during the year because everything happens in March?
Yeah.
So you can take 11 months off.
Right.
Tune in March and be the biggest basketball fan.
This guy right here. Yeah, I'm the same way. Man, I'm not watching the regular season basketball games. I'm not even watching their conference tournament.
No.
You know, someone's like, "Oh, UVM won their, you know, they're great. Awesome. I don't care." Did they make the 64? Of course they did, because they won the turn. You know, they won the conference. But I just care about the 64 teams, and then all of a sudden, I'm a huge fan. So you're right.
All right, we're going to take a break. We will be right back. Welcome back to Mike on the Hustle. I wanted to share something. Our friend of the show, Doug Kiley, sent us that March Madness cost employers $17 billion in lost production. I guess lost
productivity.
Production. Yeah. Productivity.
Yeah. I definitely could see that. And I mean, I wasn't today. I didn't impact my job whatsoever. But I can see. But I could see, especially in office buildings and things like that, where people, people are tuning into the games.
Well, and I mean, it takes me 5 minutes to do my bracket because I have no chance.
I was going to say, I really don't know anything about any of the teams.
It always starts out the same way. I open up some website and I start researching, and I was like, what? I got no chance at this. So I'm just putting the names down. And
so two nights ago, I have the TV on, right? I'm working in the living room on my laptop, and in the background, I have the gurus that are picking, you know, March Madness, and they're doing all their analysis, and they're going on and on and on about, you know, who's going to do this and who's going to do that, and you know what? I bet many of them are already wrong since, you know, Furman had that upset already. So I just, you know, you just never know. That's part of the reason why I said that March Madness is so exciting, is because you just never know what's going to happen come tournament time in one particular game. So it's an exciting time. Mike, we do have some Kingswood sports. It's going to be brought to you by Bailey's Bubble, and we have an athlete of the week. This is our final winter athlete of the week.
Yeah, another hockey player. Our athlete of the week is Wyatt Brown from Boys Ice Hockey. Wyatt played great for Kingswood in the playoffs. Coach Potenza notes that Wyatt is the reason the team made it through double overtime to get to the semifinals. Even though the team came up short, Wyatt had a very solid game in the semifinals and finished the season with an impressive 4 shutouts. Wyatt will surely be the backbone of another playoff run in his senior year.
So that's exciting. Congratulations to Wyatt Brown.
Nice job, Wyatt.
Yeah.
And as one of the coaches, Wyatt exceeded expectations. You know, we had good expectations for Wyatt. He exceeded those because he often was our only goalie.
Yes.
And it was – he came up big.
Yeah.
He missed one practice all year long.
Wow.
Which, when you're the only, you know, only goalie at times, that's a big deal.
That is
a big
deal.
Didn't miss any games.
No. So let me ask a quick let me ask a hockey question. So when you guys have hockey practice, I haven't been to a lot of hockey practices. There's probably not a whole lot of time where you're scrimmaging or anything. But what do you do for that second goalie if you don't have a second goalie? Do you just dress somebody as a goalie or?
Well, we did that sometimes. We dressed two different kids as goalies at times. We did have another goalie that was able to make it probably about half the practices.
Yeah.
There's things called shooter tutors. That you put them in front of the net. There's all kinds of different kinds. And,
okay.
The pop has a plastic one that is pretty thick.
Yeah.
And so you shoot the corners and five hole and stuff like that.
Sure.
What's the five hole, Charlie?
The five hole is right between the legs.
Well done.
Yeah.
You started out. When we started the show, you had no hockey knowledge whatsoever.
None. Zero, John. And now I love the game. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Let's do a quick Kingswood sports preview. We're going to start getting in coaches after they get through the tryouts and stuff like that, and just kind of recap where they are and where they left off last year, mm-hmm. and what's coming back. And I mean, we'll start with baseball. Condolences to the Skelly family on the passing of Al recently this afternoon.
Yes. Yeah.
Obviously, he was a big part of Kingswood sports for
a long time. Yeah, he'll be greatly missed.
So the baseball team's bringing back a lot of starters.
They are.
And
I want to say that 9 or 10, possibly, potentially.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
So just that in itself, and you know, we bowed out in the quarterfinals last year.
Hang on, Mike, you need to correct me. Charlie's playing in some really random place. There can't be 10 starters. Baseball only has 9 players.
So you can count pitchers.
So they're probably bringing back 7 or 8 kids that had starting positions from last year.
Baseball bat out in the quarterfinals last year, so
and the year prior to that it was semifinals.
Yep.
So they've had some playoff run.
So I mean, I think that there is some decent high expectations for the baseball team. You know, going to be interesting. We talked to to coach,
yes,
and how they've been looking. You know, I think pitching's probably the biggest question mark.
Sure,
they're going to be very young pitching, most likely.
Right,
and I think that's the biggest question mark. I think they're going to be able to put runs up on the board. I think they're going to play decent defense. I think.
I don't know for sure,
but I think. I think it's just going to be that pitching. Can we get the consistent pitching 3 days a week?
Right.
Because that's what they play generally, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Yeah.
And can that happen? Softball also made the playoffs last year. I forget how far they went. I think they
went to semifinals.
Semifinals.
I went up to Plymouth watch them play.
They're bringing back a lot of kids, too. And I think they are bringing back one of the pitchers that helped them get there.
She is returning.
And we know how important
pitching and softball
pitching
is.
One pitcher softball can be.
Yeah, because you can keep that. You can pitch that kid every game.
Yep.
Yeah.
So high expectations for the softball team. Mm-hmm. The lacrosse team did lose a lot of seniors.
They did. So they're a younger team.
They're a younger team, but boys lacrosse is generally a pretty strong group. So I'm guessing Coach Manning is going to have them in the right place.
Yeah, absolutely. He's ready. I mean, they've already been practicing. So.
Girls lacrosse.
Yeah, new head coach.
New head coach.
Allie Cushing.
That's right.
Looking forward to that. She's a good friend and works with me at Ospie Central School. And she's returning back. She's coached before, and her kids are getting older. So now she's returning back as the head coach.
So there's going to be high expectations there, a new coach and everything. Track. They are looking for coaches for track. If anybody's out there, hope – Mr. House doesn't mind me saying that.
Yeah.
But they are looking for some track coaches.
Tennis. Yeah.
Tennis is definitely a building program.
Right.
I don't think they had like a lot of wins last year, but they were again a young group.
They were a group. Very young.
And so tennis. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there is some excitement around Kingswood Sports this spring. And you and I talk about it. Once the snow clears and everybody's out there on the fields,
yes.
I find spring sports season to be probably one of the more exciting sports seasons in terms of outside, mm-hmm. just because there's so many different things going on.
So much activity. Yeah, you're right, because you can roll in and see it all.
Yeah.
Where in the winter, you know, you guys are at the rink and the basketball team's in the gym.
I still think one of the better days was it was the COVID year when we were in the semifinals, and we had a semifinal match, and the softball had a semifinal match going on.
And lacrosse
had a semifinal match going on.
All the same day.
Right at
the same time.
And that was one of the better days I'd seen at that complex. There was so much excitement.
Yeah. Lots of alum came back. It was awesome.
And we were, just starting to come out of the COVID thing a little bit.
Yeah.
People were outside.
Yeah. The weather was great. It was awesome.
It was definitely a different feel.
Yeah. So we're going to start. We'll start hopefully next week, next Thursday, right? We'll start with having one or two of our coaches on to preview the spring sports teams.
Yeah, we'll let them get through tryouts, and maybe we start with Coach Skelly before they take off of Florida.
Yeah, we didn't mention that. That's right. The baseball team's heading to Florida for a few days to get some sunshine and some. What are they playing? About four or five baseball games.
I believe they're playing four games. Two on Friday. Two on Saturday.
Yeah, that's great. So. Yeah. Get a couple games under their belt.
It's just an experience. Yeah. It's an experience. You get down there and to play in warm weather. Mm-hmm. And they come back here. And I remember doing it in college. We would go down there for a week and then come back. And we'd have a March 27th game. It was at Merrimack.
Sure.
And it was, 26 degrees.
Yeah,
it was really hard.
Yeah, it's funny because spring baseball in New England feels like winter.
It does.
And it's not until you get to May.
University of Maine and Orono traditionally has very good baseball teams. I never understood how being up there, that they're in. College baseball seasons end the first week of May.
Right.
The regular season ends first week of May.
Yeah. They're playing in March.
When we watch them, when college baseball playoffs and the College World Series happens in the end of May, early June, mid June, that's not when the regular season ends. The regular season ended at the beginning of May.
Right.
They play all those games
they start the end of February, right? It's crazy. So cold.
Speaking of baseball, I know that we fixed Major League Baseball. I want to fit this in because we're going to fix basketball a little bit later.
Okay.
Tell me what you think about this. This is for youth baseball, and we've said this before, that...
So this is kids 6 to 12.
I got the ages going.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
So we fixed, you and I fixed Major League Baseball. Commissioner, listen, besides ejecting a guy after four strikeouts, he basically took everything that we had said.
Right. And I think maybe the Savannah Bananas may be
doing the other one,
other stuff. So, yeah.
So I, why not? Why, we need. It, it doesn't make sense for Major League Baseball to address growing the game and youth baseball not to address growing the game. We can't be turning the same product out at youth baseball and expect it to grow.
Right.
So, I agree. Number one. Games should no. This is youth baseball, so games should last no longer than 1 hour to 1.5 hours, maximum. End of story.
That's it. From first pitch to game over.
So now the object is, okay, what can you do to the game to affect it so it's a you're not just walking away in the third inning,
right?
You know,
right.
So it is a played complete game. Coaches pitch through minor leagues, so basically up until they're about 11 years old.
Yep.
Coaches pitch. Kids do not pitch.
Okay.
Move the game along that way. A 2-1 count, and you know I play this a lot with middle school.
Yeah, do it a lot, yeah.
So every plate appearance, the batter starts with 2 balls and 1 strike.
Right.
So it's no longer you need 3 strikes for the strikeout and four walks and so on. Yeah. Sure. The count is 2-1 all the time, and that goes up until you're 15 years old. So from 12 to 11 to 15. So it'd be majors and then Babe Ruth.
Okay.
Majors and Babe Ruth.
Yeah, we start with a 2-1
count. 2-1 count. And I still think the games need to be an hour and a half. Even at that level, the games need to be an hour and a half. Automatic strike if the pitcher steps out of the box for no reason.
The batter steps out.
The batter steps out of the box for no reason. Automatic.
Yep.
Establish it early. With the umpires, establish it early.
Yeah.
Get in the box or we're calling a strike.
Gotcha.
It would fix things going on. Mm-hmm. We're watching in Major League the spring training games. These batters are getting called out, strike out because they're you know doing their Nomar Garcia Parra thing with their gloves and doing all this stuff. Automatic ball if the pitcher steps away from the mound.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
You know, if you have no reason to step away from the mound, instead of walking around and collecting yourselves. And what other sport do you get to walk around and collect yourself besides golf?
Right.
There's no other sport. You don't see anybody on the basketball court walking around to collect himself while the game's still going on.
Like the pitcher, obviously, if a runner's on and he wants to step off the rubber, that's different.
No, I'm not talking on the rubber.
Okay.
I'm talking the mound area in
general. Oh, like coming off the mound. Yes. There's no reason to come off
exactly.
The mound. Gotcha.
Get the ball back, step on the rubber, throw the next one.
Okay.
So this is what I would like to see our local chapter at Cal Ripken Institute. And is there anything here that's crazy?
I don't think so at all. I mean, I think it's great. Especially I like the coach pitch through minors. And the only thing with the coach pitch, and we've talked about this a little bit, it just has to be done in such a way that you don't create bad habits in hitters. Because like if you're 6'4" and you're pitching, the trajectory of the pitch
can be
is a little different.
I mean, you can pitch from your knees.
You can adjust. Yeah, exactly.
Pitch from the knees, whatever you got to do.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But I think that these five different things would dramatically increase the amount of kids that are playing baseball.
I agree. It certainly would. The pace of the game would be a lot faster if you know that the game's going to end in an hour and a half. And I like the 2-1 count. Love that.
Up until 15 years old.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
So high school would play traditionally the way that they are now.
Traditional baseball.
But if these habits were instilled in the kids about staying in the batter's box, and if you start with a 2-1 count, what are the pitchers going to need to do?
Throw strikes. Yeah, exactly.
What are the batters going to need to do?
Hit the ball.
Swing the bat.
Yeah.
You know,
pitchers aren't going to have the opportunity to have wasted pitches.
This is going to create good habits. All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Mike and the Haunts. It's trivia time brought to you by the Back Bay Boathouse. You're going to call 603-569-5253. Give us the right answer after Charlie reads the question. And if you're correct, we're going to let you know, and then we're going to take you off air and give your information so we can pass that on to the Back Bay Boathouse, and you're going to get a free appetizer at the boathouse the next time you're in there.
Awesome. That's 603-569-5253. And, of course, you're listening to Mike and the Haunts on WASR The Shore. I see. I knew I'd get a smile from you, Mike. Great. Okay, here's the trivia question. Who is the Michigan basketball player and member of the Fab Five who called the infamous timeout during the 1993 national championship game against North Carolina? Once again, who is the Michigan basketball player and member of the Fab Five who called the infamous timeout during the 1993 national championship game against North Carolina? If you know who that player was, 603-569-5253. That's 603-569-5253.
I'll ask you a Fab Five trivia question that's not going to give away the answer.
Yeah.
What fashion trend was accredited to the Fab Five. A fashion trend.
Fashion trend. Not baggy basketball shorts.
That's it.
Was it really?
Yeah, baggy basketball shorts.
That's so cool.
Do you remember how big their shorts were when they were playing?
Yeah, they were huge. And you remember the 80s basketball shorts.
It was Larry Bird's, you know, right up in like his crotch and stuff. And it was
no thanks.
Yeah, that's what they were attributed to that. There was so much hype around them.
Oh, my God. Well, they were five freshmen.
They were the five top recruits that year in the nation.
That started, obviously.
The cover of Sports Illustrated before they even played a game. Mm-hmm. The cover of Sports Illustrated.
Pretty impressive.
They were all relatively successful.
Do you remember where you were? I mean, I was definitely watching the 1993 National Championship game when the timeout was called. Do you remember where you were when it happened?
I'm guessing sitting on my couch.
Okay, so I was actually still, I was in a dorm. I was living in a dorm at the time. And I just remember, you know, watching it with, you know, I don't know, 25, 30 people. And just everybody was just like, did that just happen?
I remember saying that.
What?
Yeah, I remember saying that.
So if you knew who called that timeout, Michigan basketball player that called the timeout.
Playing? Do you remember? Was it it wasn't a Duke game, was it?
They're playing North Carolina.
It was North Carolina. Okay.
That was part of my trivia question, Mike.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't listening.
National championship.
I never listen, Charlie.
I know you don't.
All right. NFL free agency.
Yes.
Starting this week. Yes. In the So we're going to do a little Patriots free agency talk and then maybe some stuff around the NFL, since we always give the NFL props is that there's never an off season for the NFL.
Right.
They have it figured out that as soon as one thing ends, the next thing starts.
Right.
And they have this thing called legal tampering to fill in a little gap that they can actually make deals. The Patriots have lost their number one receiver.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers is gone to Las Vegas.
And he went for very little money relative to receivers.
3 years, $33 million.
Yep,
picked
11.
Up by Josh McDaniels.
And only the first year is guaranteed.
Yeah.
That's small potatoes in today's wide receiver market.
Sure.
Does that make you think that there was some bad blood somewhere along the lines with Jacoby?
Well, if you want to continue, let's continue the conversation, because who do they pick up for 3 years and $33 million.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yes. So it's interesting, you know, and I'm sure you saw the tweet by Jacoby Myers, but there has to have, there must have been some bad
Jacoby
blood.
Myers wanted to come back.
Yeah, he wanted to come back, and obviously the Patriots were not going to, I mean, I think if the Patriots offered him $33 million.
No, they offered him 2-6
right,
or something
right,
like
right,
that.
Yeah, they, you know, would he have stayed, so.
They really, really lowballed him. Who would you rather have, Jacoby Myers or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Well, it's funny because when you compare them side by side, I mean, you could almost say that they're extremely similar. You know,
Juju's a little faster,
yeah,
a little quicker.
I mean, I'm okay. I'm okay with Juju coming to New England, new blood. You know, I guess you could say fresh blood. I know he's not new to the NFL by any means, but I'm okay with this, and Jacoby's probably going to now go and become an all-pro, you know, when Jimmy Garoppolo throws to him out in Las Vegas.
Well, they also have Davante Adams out there, so Davante Adams is going to get triple covered.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, I mean,
Jacoby Myers is going to catch like 130 balls
right.
next year.
I mean, Jacoby Myers is definitely a two receiver, and so is Juju. Juju is a two. He's not a one.
I mean, I would venture to say that Jacoby's as a 2.5 to 3.
Okay.
You know, I think
we agree that he's not a one.
No, I mean, I think that Jacoby Myers to me is like the Mac Jones of receivers. He's smart. He's not physically gifted.
Right.
He's slow. He runs a 4.6, which is slow and
slow,
you know,
for
wide receivers.
Receiver stuff. Yeah.
I just wonder if Bill thinks that Juju could be better at doing what Jacoby did than Jacoby.
Yeah.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he does. But what do you think? When you say Bill, I know you're talking about Belichick, but I think Bill O'Brien probably had some input
that's one of my questions here.
Yeah, as to whether or not, you know, do we you know, cut bait with Myers and bring in Juju.
Do you think that Bill O'Brien has any say in any of this stuff?
Yes, absolutely. And I think he has to now because of the poor performance of the Patriots for the past couple of years, especially since Tom Brady left. So I think Bill Belichick is no dummy. He's still a genius. He's still the greatest of all time as far as coaching. But he's definitely, I think, deferring to those that have experience.
Will Mac be the quarterback next year?
I mean, I'm going to give the answer of I don't know. I don't know. I mean, who is he going to be replaced with?
Lamar Jackson.
I don't know.
Lamar Jackson put it out there. Get him for $42 million bucks. 3 years, $42 million.
Which isn't a lot of money in quarterback world.
That's what Daniel Jones for the Giants got, and he stinks. So, you can get Lamar Jackson, former MVP, game changer.
Sure.
Truly game changer. Can do it with his legs.
So is Cam Newton, Mike.
Yeah, but they
former MVP game changer.
Yeah, but they got Cam Newton when he was, on his wheelchair, for crying out loud.
True.
They didn't get him in the peak of his career, and Lamar Jackson didn't even play last year. He played a little bit, but he bowed out. And
That would be interesting. So, what are you thinking? Are you thinking New England's going to see?
Would I take Lamar Jackson? Yes, that's something that I would be all about.
I agree with that.
Now, Aaron Rodgers. Apparently, there was a meeting with Aaron Rodgers. Also, he's somebody I would not. I'd rather have Mac Jones than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers is going to be 40.
I mean, it looks like Aaron Rodgers. He wants to go to the Jets. He's going to end up with the Jets.
I would disagree. I don't think he wants to go to the Jets. I think the Jets are one of the few teams that would actually have him.
Are willing to take him.
And give what they... It has to be a trade. He's under contract. He just signed an extension with Green Bay.
It has to be a trade or draft picks.
Still a trade.
Yeah, I don't know if the Jets are willing to give up. I mean, I think Green Bay wants two first rounds. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is worth two first round picks.
Neither do I. But if the Patriots sign Lamar Jackson... It's two first rounds because they tendered him or whatever the legal thing is that they do. The Patriots have to give up two.
What do you do with Mac Jones then?
You trade him.
Okay. So you keep Bailey Zappe.
I would keep Bailey as the backup.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make Mac Jones the backup. I think that wouldn't work.
Right.
I'd keep Bailey Zappe as the backup and Lamar Jackson, and then you can probably recoup a second, I'm guessing. Maybe a first. Maybe you got a first. He is an established quarterback now.
I mean, you're putting together something that if you
can get a first for Mac Jones if you wait until somebody's quarterback goes down with an injury, and then you can get probably two firsts.
Yeah. Then Tom Brady's coming back, so it doesn't matter.
That is true.
But you're creating a recipe for Mac Jones ending up in Vegas because Josh McDaniels will probably scoop him right up as a backup for
Garoppolo.
Garoppolo's fragile. Come on. I mean, the guy wins. I love Jimmy Garoppolo, but the chances of him getting injured this season are pretty good.
Yeah.
So, then you have a backup in Mac Jones. And
yeah,
Josh
McDaniels. I don't know where he would land. I don't know where Mac Jones would land if that were the case. But I could see it being a backup situation, being a backup in Arizona to Kyler Murray, who's fringy at best.
Yeah.
Out in Los Angeles for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
There are places that he could be a backup for. Mm-hmm. San Francisco. They do like him out there.
Yeah.
Last question for this one. Is Bill on the hot seat?
Oh, yes. Come on. Of course.
Okay. If he's on the hot seat, doesn't he have to be all in?
Yeah.
And stop, dicking around with all the stuff that he's been doing for the past 3-4 years? It seems like it's the same stuff. We're going to sign, guys off the scrap heap. We're going to hope they catch. And if they don't catch, we're going to be 5-9 or whatever the math is now.
And not worry about it. Yeah.
All right. World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
U.S. advances to the quarterfinals. It was touch and go there for a little while if they were going to advance to the quarterfinals.
It was. They ended up 2-1.
But that's not the news.
No.
So Edwin Diaz, the Mets closer.
So good. Got to see him live this summer.
And the music. Which is now played in every hockey rink all winter long.
Right, right.
Celebrating, they beat the Dominican Republic, which is a feat.
Excuse me. It was that music was not played in the pop. I did not play any of it.
Okay.
So they beat the Dominican Republic. He plays for Puerto Rico.
That's a big win for Puerto Rico. Huge win.
Yep.
And he jumps. He's celebrating with his team, blah, blah, blah. Boom, blows out his knee.
Yeah.
Out for the year.
Unbelievable. This was after you got struck him out and celebrated. And
this wasn't in the course of the game.
Yeah.
This was celebrating, jumping up and down and celebrating.
Right. Right, right. It wasn't part of he wasn't making a play.
No. And so notable injuries when celebrating. I thought it was Martin Gramatica.
Martin is his older brother.
His older brother. Yeah. Billy Gramatica was a kicker.
Yes.
Let's see. Tampa, maybe
it was
Tampa.
Like, this was 2001.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, and made a game-winning field goal.
Yeah.
Jumped up and down to pump his fist, and then boom, blew out his knee, never kicked again.
Yeah, tore his ACL, and that was the end of Billy Gramatica.
I mean, is this what this is exactly, baseball owners are afraid of?
This is exactly what you said when you had said to me last week, you know, when should they have the World Baseball Classic? You know, should they do it in the beginning? Or, and you were saying, no, let's do it after the World Series. You know, and this is exactly what you don't want to happen. If you're if you're a Mets fan, you're pretty much like, my season is done.
We just put $300 billion into our team, and our closer that we built around just blew out his knee, jumping up and down
before the season has even started.
All right, we're gonna have to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Mike and the Hoss on WASR Radio. We are powered by the Yum Yum Shop. Charlie, you want to read the trivia one more time?
Sure. Trivia is sponsored by the Back Bay Boathouse. And if you give us a call at 603-569-5253, that's 603-569-5253, you can win yourself a free appetizer at the Back Bay Boathouse. Who was the Michigan basketball player and member of the Fab Five who called the infamous timeout during the 1993 national championship game against North Carolina? This Michigan basketball player, of course, went on to play in the NBA. So if you know it, 603-569-5253.
I am looking for my bracket right now, Charlie.
Are you looking? All right, so let's talk a little bit about Celtics. Your bullet point was the Celtics lost to the worst team in the league when they were trying. So it's been some ups and downs for the Celtics over the past probably 10, 11 games. They're second place. They're falling and falling and falling farther and farther behind the Milwaukee Bucks. The 76ers are on their tail. And the Celtics team is probably going down the tube at the wrong time with only 15 games left.
They're staring at a first-round exit.
Yes.
And how far, how high they were back in November and December compared to where they are now.
Yeah, they peaked. And now they totally did.
Yeah. They played about 12 months of good basketball between last year when they finally figured it out, which was early January, to basically the end of December this year.
Right.
And winning covers a lot of problems. Losing really brings them out.
Sure.
And we're starting to see major, major Marcus Smart issues again, which is what we saw last year when they wanted to trade him, but he decided all of a sudden, hey, I'm going to be a point guard, and I'm going to dish the ball out.
Right. And then you see the exit of Sotomayor, the assistant coach, who's going to Georgia Tech to become the head coach. He was kind of, you know, I don't know if you read any of the articles about him, but he was kind of, you know, you got Joe Mazzulla, who's the head coach, but Sotomayor was a former NBA player, kind of the brains behind everything. Like he was the assistant coach, but really assumed the role of head coach, and he was the one that was well respected. And now he's not even with the team anymore.
No, and this coach is doing backflips in front of the players.
It's
a problem, and I'm not going to say I told you so yet, but you know it's coming.
Yeah,
because I didn't believe in this team. I don't believe in their leadership. I don't believe in Jason Tatum. I believe a little bit more in Jaylen Brown. I definitely don't believe in Marcus Smart.
Right.
And I don't believe in their coach. I did believe in their coach last year.
Yeah,
Ime Udoka. I believed in him, and you know, I guess we'll find out at someday. You know exactly what happened. But I don't believe in this team. I think that we were right that they cared more about their headlines and their personal accolades than they did about the team.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is they get tired. Jason Tatum was playing 40 minutes a game for the first half of the year.
Right.
Jaylen Brown was playing 40 minutes a game for the first half of the year. Not because they wanted to win, because they wanted to pad their points, pad their stats, so that they would be in the conversation
for
MVP and first team this and second team this and so on.
Right.
And they were in that conversation until they started losing games. And then they started losing games, and they're no longer in that conversation anymore.
You know, looking back when they got rid of Ime Udoka, you know, I had said this, and I want to say it again. Brad Stevens should have taken control of that team. Brad Stevens should have come back down onto the bench and coached the team.
Yeah.
And I think you may have seen a different product than what we're seeing now, because I think a lot of it, yeah, of course, a lot of it has to do with the players that you've mentioned, but a lot of it has to do with the coaching and the belief and the trust in the coaching. And he's making I'm watching some of these games. He's making some bizarre calls, not calling timeouts when any youth coach would know to call a timeout, and he's not doing it.
Right now, his two best players on the team are Derek White and Malcolm Brogdon, mm-hmm. and they both play behind Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, it's Marcus Smart out there just chucking up balls.
Right.
And whereas when those guys are on the floor, they're a much better team. Jason Tatum has a minus in his plus minus since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
He's a minus.
Yep.
How many MVPs can you say that?
Probably zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
It's becoming a joke. They're not going to be there at the end. But that doesn't mean we're not going to try and fix the NBA.
Right.
Because I watched a couple games in the past couple weeks, and the game is entertaining until the last 2 minutes of the game.
Right.
It's brutal, the last 2 minutes of the game. So this is what I want to do to fix the NBA. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I got to find it. What did I do with
you
it?
You want it here. You can have mine. What, you got it?
Did I put that on the same spot?
Yeah, it's
right. Oh, Mike and the Haas. Let's fix the NBA.
That's who we
are. Here's a big one. One timeout after 2 minutes.
Yeah. So, you know, there was 2 minutes left in the game, you mean?
2 minutes left in the game.
2 minutes left in the game, then what? Even if you've saved all your timeouts, you got one.
You get one.
Okay.
You get one. Enough of this calling timeout on every single possession. Change that game so one timeout, and if you don't, you know, if you can't manage that, if you can't call plays from the sidelines without calling a timeout, if you can't draw up something, find something else to do, because I'm just so sick of this. All right.
Yeah, because you think about it, like when you're, as a fan, watching it on TV, 2 minutes lasts 30 minutes. It's like 30 minutes of basketball.
It's brutal. Yeah. It's brutal. You can watch 2.5 hours of basketball. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because in the last 2 minutes of the game is the only thing that matters, and you can just tune in and
sure.
It's absolutely brutal. All right. Maintenance days, and mm-hmm. we've talked about this one, need yes. to be announced 2 weeks in advance.
Right.
So if Jason Tatum, for instance, is getting a management day because he's going to his birthday party that night,
yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating, that's exactly what ends up happening.
Yeah.
That has to be announced 2 weeks in advance so the fans can make decisions about yep. whether they want to go to the game.
Yep, like, I don't want to go. Jason's not playing. I'm not going to go.
Yep. Arguing calls, flopping, an automatic tee. It should be an automatic tee.
Okay, so if you argue with the ref, technical. If you flop, technical. I like
right away.
It. Yep.
And Jason Tatum would be getting a technical every time down because he does not miss without there being an argument about that he was fouled.
Right.
It's so painful to watch. It makes you root against him.
Yeah.
He
could be the only one on the court shooting, and he would say yes. that he was fouled.
during the technical foul shot, he could be saying that he was fouled.
Yeah.
Referees must hold press conferences after the game. I think this should be in every sport.
Oh, I like this.
I think this should be in every sport.
This is great.
I know this does elevate the referees to be part of the game, which is not what I'm looking for. What I want them to be is accountable for calls that they make.
Yeah.
And I think a baseball umpire should be accountable for a call that he made at the end of that game.
Sure.
The thing that Bernie sent us that you and I kicked around the Division I college baseball game where the umpire was mad about a previous strike call that the batter showed him up and pointed to the ground, and then the next one was at least 3 feet off the plate.
Yeah, complete ball.
And he punched him out, and that was the end of the game.
Yep.
That umpire, now I know he was suspended, as he should be, because that was blatant, making it personal and a vendetta against the player.
But he should come to the podium and have to respond.
He should have to respond. Why did you make that call?
Right.
And I think that we would get better refereeing and less of that stuff if they had to be accountable for what they do during the game. The players are accountable.
Right.
Why shouldn't the referees be? The GM's accountable.
I like it.
Why shouldn't the referees be accountable? And then lastly, all instant replay, and I feel strongly about this, and I think this should be applied to the NFL also. Mm-hmm. All instant replay must be done in real time.
Yeah, not like we're going to slow it down.
It's not fair to the referee when you slow it down to microseconds of what you're seeing and say, well, that blade of grass moved just a little bit.
Right.
If you can't define it in real time,
right,
as far as the video playing at normal speed, right, then the call on the field stands.
Real time, what the human eye can see and what the referee could see.
And you know what? It would happen faster. Those things would happen faster.
Yeah.
So, no, I want to see the left angle, but I want to half speed. No, I want to see the overhead angle, but at third speed. It's just ridiculous. Regular speed. And I think that would be an important thing to do.
I like it.
All right. Bruins lost two straight, 105 points, 15 games left. Is it time to rest these guys, Charlie?
I think so, and I think they probably feel the same way because there isn't anything that can happen in the regular season that they care about.
Yep.
So, you know, keeping them healthy, doing what you need to do to prepare for that final push. Because you're right, you don't want to have an exhausted team heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
The overall win record is I mean, there's 15 games left, and they need 14 wins for it, so that's not going to happen.
Right.
And so they shouldn't try to go get it. And so
they don't care about it.
Then they definitely need to be resting these guys. Patrice Bergeron should play, and they're in the 15 games left. He should play half these games.
Yeah.
Marchand should play 10 of these games. Yeah. Krejci should play half these games, just enough to stay sharp. Yeah. But that's it. And then let the young guys play.
Yeah.
No, you're not getting caught from behind. You're going to be hosting the. You're going to have first round all. You know, home ice the whole time through.
Advantage. Yeah. Sure.
It's not going to happen. So just start resting these guys. It's driving me crazy when I see Bergeron playing his third game in four nights. It's like, dude, the guy's 38 years old.
Hey, I'm going to give the trivia, and then you can give us the answer. How's that sound?
Sure.
All right, who was the Michigan basketball player and member of the Fab Five who called the infamous timeout during the 1993 national championship game against North Carolina? It was...
Chris Webber.
Yes, it was. Chris Webber.
Had the most... Out of all the Fab Five, he was the most successful NBA player.
Yeah.
He was also the best player out of the group anyway.
He was. Very talented.
Jalen Rose played in that group. Yeah. Oh, geez, I'm going to draw...
Juwan Howard.
Thank you. So. Wasn't a big fan of Juwan Howard.
No. It was Chris Webber, and it was just the Michigan didn't have any timeouts left. He called a timeout, and it was a technical foul.
I feel bad for him. I mean, he was a freshman at the time. Right. You know, they were a freshman. Yeah. You know, this freshman that year? Yeah, it was freshman that year. I thought I had some Red Sox in here. There we go. Corey Kluber. Name the opening day starter. How do you feel about that?
I'm okay. I listened to the Core press conference, and I've listened to Chris Sale talk about reasons behind it. It's interesting because it's Chris Sale's birthday, by the way, his opening day. He was talking about, but he likes the fact that he doesn't have to start. There's not pressure on him. He can just kind of enjoy the experience. So I'm fine with it. I don't think it. Do you think it matters like who the opening day starter is? As long as
I think as long as they've done it once, then I think it's okay.
Yeah.
But I think these guys, I think it does matter to them. I mean, it's all over social media. Corey Kluber's,
sure.
All these guys care about his brand. They care about brand, yes. And so it does matter. Sales look good.
Yeah.
Nobody else is healthy, though, on the pitching staff.
Right.
You get your one and two, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Question for you before we end the show. Is first place then three last place finishes better than four second place finishes?
So say it one more time.
So the Red Sox basically finished first and then they finished last two or three years in a row.
Yeah.
Then they finished first and they finished last two or three years in a row. Not a lot of consistency. Is that better than finishing second 4 years in a row?
I think so, because second place doesn't get you anything.
Well, you might make the playoffs.
You might make the playoffs.
You might get a wild card or something like that.
Yeah.
So it does.
I don't know.
You're in it.
I'm okay if you go worst to first, but first to worst is kind of tough.
But it's not. It's no longer first to worst or worst to first. It's first to worst, worst, worst.
You stay there until you can rebuild.
Yes, and then they're doing it again. This cycle's been going on since 2010.
Yeah.
And that to me seems like it's a lot. They have
You would prefer I guess it makes sense, a consistently decent baseball team.
A competitive team. I would prefer a competitive team that is in it. Yeah. They don't have to win it, but they got to be in it.
I would like a Red Sox who consistently win, 91, 92, 93 games as opposed to going out and winning 108.
All right. I see your final four. We're going to go here. You got Arizona, Purdue, Xavier, and UCLA.
Yes. That's my final four.
I have Alabama, Purdue, Houston, and UCLA.
Okay. All right. So you went with Purdue is a one, Houston is a one, Alabama is a one. Okay. Yep. And I have championship game is Arizona versus Xavier, and I have the champs as the Arizona Wildcats.
And I have Alabama versus UCLA, and I have the champs as Murder U, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's going to be all right.
I think it'll be good.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
I'm probably going to be out after tomorrow, but we'll see.
I may already be out. Who knows?
We want to once again thank our advertisers supporting Mike and the Hawks and WSR, powered by the Yum-Yum Shop. Thanks to Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway,
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Bradley's Hardware,
JCN Shuttle,
Hancock Lumber,
the Back Bay Boathouse,
and the Heinz Group of Philadelphia and London.
We'll be back next Thursday for more Mike and the Hawks.